first. I'm Nikki Strong, and this is VOA 1, The Hits. Looking right.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
On today's program, you will hear stories from John Russell and Andrew Smith. Later, Dan will present this week's education report. Finally, Kelly Jean Kelly tells us about the presidency of Ronald Reagan. But first, Ukraine said Tuesday that it has attacked command posts and destroyed bridges and ammunition storage in the Russian-occupied south. Russia said it fought off the attack and caused heavy losses against Ukraine's forces. The clashes took place in the country's Kherson area, which Russian forces took control of early in the war. Independent confirmation of the claims has been difficult. However, Britain's defense ministry said in an intelligence report that several Ukrainian units had increased their artillery fire across southern Ukraine. The port city of Kherson had a pre-war population of about 300,000. It is an important economic center close to the Black Sea. Kherson was the first major city to fall to the Russians in the war. Russia considers it an important area to establish a pathway on land from its border to the Crimean Peninsula, which it seized in 2014. Occupation forces have spoken of plans to hold a vote on making the Kherson area a part of Russia. They have also pressured local people to take Russian citizenship and stop using Ukrainian money. Ukraine's presidential office reported that powerful explosions continued during the day and night, and tough battles took place in the Kherson area. It said Ukrainian forces destroyed ammunition storage areas and all large bridges across the Dnieper River. The Ukrainian military also reported destroying a temporary bridge being built by Russian forces on the Dnieper, and it said it hit about 10 command posts with artillery fire. In Russia, state news agency TASS reported that explosions rocked Kherson on Tuesday morning, saying it was most likely caused by air defense systems. British intelligence officials say many Russian units around Kherson are likely undermanned. These troops, the officials said, have limited supply and are undergoing reorganization. A Russian defense ministry spokesman, however, said its forces fought well and that Ukraine lost hundreds of troops, tanks, and other vehicles on Monday. His claim could not be independently confirmed. Ukrainian independent military expert Oleg Zdanov told the Associated Press that it will be possible to talk about the effectiveness of Ukrainian actions only after large cities are retaken.
The lands in Bordeaux, France's famous wine area, in some ways look the same as ever. Healthy, colorful grapes hang on large numbers of green vines. But this year something is different in one of the world's most famous wine-producing areas. The harvest that once started in the middle of September is now happening earlier, in the middle of August. The early harvest is a result of drought and the wine industry's attempts to deal with the effects of climate change. Observers say this year's season of heat and fires has produced high-quality grapes, although yields are lower. But getting such a harvest required wine growers to make creative changes in growing methods. They cut vines in a different way and sometimes watered vines in places where irrigation is usually banned. Producers across Europe who have seen the effects of global warming are worried about what is to come. Fabien Tégin is technical director of Château Smith aux Lafitte, a wine producer that grows organic wine grapes in Martillac, south of Bordeaux. He said, so far, global warming is very positive. But, he warned, if you increase the temperature by 1 degree more, you will lose the freshness part in the balance of the wine. Grape growers changed their techniques during a series of heat waves that hit most of Europe. In the Bordeaux region, in southwestern France, fires destroyed large areas of forest. It did not rain from the end of June until mid-August. Éric Perrin is one of the owners of the Château Carbonneux, another wine producer. Perrin said that during his childhood, in the 1970s, harvests started around mid-September. This year, they began on August 16th. But the 2022 wines may be better than ever, Perrin said, because the grapes are healthy and well-balanced. The hot, dry weather also prevented vines from getting diseases like mildew. Producing wine is an ancient tradition at Château Carbonneux. It is said that Thomas Jefferson visited the vineyards in 1787 before becoming president of the United States. Jefferson brought a pecan tree that still stands in a park. Château Carbonneux wine is sometimes offered by President Emmanuel Macron as a gift. The drought also changed the way wine producers work. Before, wine growers used to give vines a shape that gave grapes the most sun. More sunlight causes the grapes to produce more sugar, which can be turned into alcohol. This year, growers often let leaves cover the grapes to save the fruit's acidity and freshness, Tégin explained. Yields may be 15-20% lower in the region, mostly because of smaller grapes and the fact that some were burned by the sun, Tégin said. He added that the differences will not affect the wine's quality. This year, producers had permission to water adult vines, an act that is usually banned in Bordeaux. Vines that are several years old have deep roots that let them reach water far underground and withstand drought. But some plots were heavily suffering with leaves falling, said Manon Lecouf, a worker in the Château Smith aux Lafitte vineyard. Another step winemakers may take is to reduce the density of their fields to require less water or to work the soil to save water. Experts are also considering whether planting new kinds of grapes could be helpful. I'm John Russell.
A rare medical problem almost crippled Cuban dancer Yankiel Vasquez, but a team of physiotherapists helped him recover. The 29-year-old Vasquez is again dancing with Cuba's National Ballet. Vasquez is from the town of Mantua in rural western Cuba. He joined the ballet in 2011. But shortly after he started, he became sick with Guillain-Barré syndrome. That disease of the immune system attacks the nerves. It sometimes makes a person unable to move their arms or legs. When Vasquez was sick, he thought his dream of dancing with the ballet was finished. Vasquez said, "It took me several months to learn to walk again." He had to recover physically and mentally. He said the recovery process was intense. This year, he returned to the National Ballet, where he is now a first dancer. This means he has reached an elite level in the ballet. Vasquez said, "Reaching first dancer is what one dreams of as a child." Cuba's National Ballet began in 1948. It is one of the world's most famous ballet companies. For many years, a school linked to the ballet has helped its students dance in many places around the world. The Cuban National Ballet has 70 dancers. The company also has a team of physiotherapists who help the dancers stay healthy. The team helped Vasquez become healthy again. I'm Andrew Smith.
Some American states are dealing with teacher shortages by lowering the requirements to become public school teachers. Education Week and the Education Commission of the States found that 12 states either recently changed or are considering changing rules surrounding teacher certification. In some states, a college degree is not even required to become a teacher. Others are considering making it easier to pass a teacher exam. The cause and extent of the shortages in the United States are widely debated. But the National Education Association, or NEA, an organization representing teachers, says that schools are facing a shortage of 300,000 teachers and school workers. And in a study of school officials released by Education Week last year, 40% said teacher shortages were either very severe or severe, and the pandemic worsened the problem. States are hoping that by making it easier to become a teacher, more people will enter the profession. But critics say the plans will put unprepared and unqualified teachers into classrooms. Teacher certification is done on a statewide rather than a national level. Requirements vary, but certification requires at least a college degree and sometimes an advanced degree, like a master's or higher. It also requires completion of a state-approved teacher education program and the passage of a teacher exam. In Florida, a law went into effect in July that permits military veterans without a college degree to earn teacher certification. They must have completed some college classes, but a degree is not required. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, a Republican, said in a statement that the law is a way to thank military families for their service. "We know that our veterans have talents and skills that they can offer our students," he said. "This new opportunity expands Florida's existing programs that help our veterans take their talents to our schools, and it will help Florida remain a national leader in education." In Arizona, a new law permits people to become teachers without college degrees as long as they are attending college and supervised by a certified teacher. "There is an urgent need for teachers in Arizona," said Republican State Senator Rick Gray, who introduced the bill. the law will open the door to future educators and prepare them to be in the classroom. But education experts say these new policies damage teaching as a profession and hurt students. Jacqueline Rodriguez is a vice president at the American Association of Colleges for Teacher Education. She said in an interview with K-12 Dive that the Arizona law harms students by having an unprepared person lead the classroom. She added that those who are unprepared to teach will not be successful and less likely to stay in the position. Christopher Morphew is head of the Johns Hopkins University School of Education in Baltimore, Maryland. He said teacher shortages could be addressed with better pay and working conditions for teachers. I don't think you can ask people to take out $50,000 in loans to pay for teacher education programs at universities, and then teach for $40,000 a year, he said. A new study by the Economic Policy Institute, or EPI, found that teaching earns far less than other professions that require similar college degrees. In 2021, teachers were paid 23.5% less than people with similar degrees, EPI found. U.S. Education Secretary Miguel Cardona said lowering standards for teachers is unfortunate in an interview with CBS. Unless we're serious about providing competitive salaries for our educators, better working conditions so that they can continue to grow, we're going to constantly deal with shortage issues, especially in our areas that are harder to teach or where there are less candidates, he said. I'm Dan Novak.
VOA Learning English presents America's Presidents. Today we are talking about Ronald Reagan. He was president for two terms and served from 1981 to 1989. Before that, he was the governor of California, worked as an actor, and led a labor union. As president, Reagan is credited for changing the direction of the country. He tried to establish a feeling of confidence in the American people. Although not everyone profited equally from his policies, the president rarely suffered in public opinion polls. Reagan was called the Great Communicator because he was able to connect with many Americans and to speak persuasively about conservative values. He is remembered warmly by many Republican Party politicians and voters especially. Ronald Reagan is often linked to California and the American West, but he was born and raised in Illinois, in the center of the United States. His father sold shoes, and his mother mostly took care of Ronald and his older brother, Neil. The entire family supported the Democratic Party, especially President Franklin Roosevelt. While the boys were growing up, the Reagans did not have much money, and the father suffered from alcoholism. But Ronald was energetic and took part in many activities. He played football and basketball, ran on the track team, swam, acted in plays, led student groups, wrote for school newspapers and yearbooks, and worked several jobs to help pay for his education and support his parents. He attended Eureka College in Illinois and completed his studies in 1932. One of his first jobs out of college was as a sports announcer for a radio station. He had an appealing voice and a natural way of talking that was a good fit for radio. Reagan was also good-looking and a dependable worker. In time, he was offered a chance to act in movies and moved to California. During his acting career, Reagan made more than 50 films. He also married actress Jane Wyman and had two children with her. But after several years, the relationship ended. Their marriage ended in divorce. 4 years later, Reagan married another actress. Her name was Anne Robbins, but she was called Nancy Davis. They also had two children. As he was starting his second family, Reagan began another part of his career. He served as host of a popular television series about the American West. He also became president of a labor union, the Screen Actors Guild. It represented actors, announcers, and others working in the film and television industry. During that time, Reagan's political beliefs changed. He increasingly supported conservative ideas. During public appearances, he often spoke in support of business interests. He also expressed concern that the federal government was limiting Americans' freedom. The message was well received by many Americans. Although the Democratic Party was in power for most of the 1960s, a number of Americans were becoming increasingly conservative. Reagan won national recognition in 1966 when he successfully ran for governor of California as a Republican. In 1970, voters re-elected him to the position. But Reagan had set his sights on the presidency. He sought the Republican nomination in both 1968 and 1976. Finally, in 1980, he won the office. By that time, he had already had several careers, as well as a long life. At age 69, he was the oldest person until then to be elected president. When Reagan took office, he made improving the U.S. economy his highest concern. One way to do that, he believed, was to reduce the influence of the federal government. He wanted especially to cut some of the government programs that former President Lyndon Johnson had put in place to help poor people. Reagan believed that cutting taxes, especially on big businesses, would help strengthen the economy and in time help everyone. In a speech after taking office, Reagan noted that government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. At first, the economy continued to struggle, but in a few years, Reagan's policies appeared to work. Unemployment dropped, the stock market rose, and many industries grew quickly. Americans often remember Reagan's presidency as a time of economic growth. Not everyone benefited equally, however. Reagan's critics observed that his policies largely helped people who were already wealthy. The divide between rich and middle-class Americans increased during Reagan's presidency. And Reagan did not reduce government spending in all areas. In fact, he sharply increased military spending. One result was a large national debt. Another result, Reagan supporters say, was a quicker end to the Cold War. One of Reagan's major foreign policy goals was to end the standoff with the Soviet Union. He believed that building up the U.S. military was the best way to pressure the Soviets to reach an agreement on arms control. Reagan also spoke out strongly against communism. In his second term, he famously appealed to the new Soviet leader, Mikhail Gorbachev, to tear down the Berlin Wall. For some, the wall was a sign of communism. Many historians say Reagan's policies worked. For sure, Reagan and Gorbachev improved relations between their countries. And in time, the Soviet leadership permitted the Berlin Wall to come down. In addition to the economy and the Cold War, Reagan is often remembered for his likable personality. He spoke easily with the public, often had a positive message about the country, and usually appeared cheerful. He won even more public approval after a man with mental problems tried to kill him. The bullets seriously injured several people nearby and just missed Reagan's heart. Yet, shortly after he was shot, the president joked with his wife and with his doctors. Opinion polls showed that the recovered president was more popular than ever. Reagan's political image also survived a scandal known as Iran-Contra. In brief, Congress found that a number of government officials secretly sold U.S. weapons to Iran as part of a deal to free hostages. Then, the officials used some of the money to help rebels in Nicaragua. The actions violated congressional rules. They also challenged Reagan's promise that he had not traded weapons for hostages. The president apologized for any part he had played in the events. Polls showed that, in general, the American public accepted his apology and continued to trust him. Unlike most U.S. presidents, who lose public support during their terms, Reagan finished his time in office as he had taken it, with the support of more than half of Americans. Reagan retired to his home in California with his wife, Nancy. For several years, he wrote about his life and helped organize his presidential library. But in a few years, the former president announced that he suffered from Alzheimer's. The disease affects people's ability to think, remember, and express themselves. Soon, Reagan disappeared from public life. He died in 2004. But he is well remembered as an able politician who could work effectively with many people. He is also remembered, by both supporters and critics, for being a powerful voice for conservative ideas and traditional values. His influence extended beyond his two terms. Later generations of leaders and voters called themselves Reagan Republicans. I'm Kelly Jean Kelly.
And that's our program for today.
Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.